Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome here to Bonesville Mennonite Church, and I want to welcome all who are watching on the live stream this morning. And this morning is a flowing water service, and so we just want to praise God for what He's been doing through the ministry of Flowing Waters. And so I just invite you to stand for this first song. We are going to kind of do what's becoming sort of the normal for the Flowing Water services, where we open with a song, and then we'll have a longer time of worship a little later on. So invite you to stand for that, and I also invite the ushers to come forward for this morning's offering. Father, we just thank you for the blessings that you have given us, and we just lift these tithes and offerings up to you this morning, just pray your blessing on them, and just pray that the work of your kingdom would go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. Is Andrew up here? Oh, go ahead.
Okay, good morning. I will be reading from Matthew 15, 29 to 39. Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee, and then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, laid him at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people, and they have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. His disciples answered, where can we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? How many loaves do you have, Jesus? He asked. Seven, they replied, and a few small fish. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the seven loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up several basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. And the number of those who ate was 4,000 men, besides women and children. After Jesus had sent the crowd away, he got into the boat and went into the vicinity of Magadan. Right here is a story that we all know very well. It's a parable. It's a story of Jesus' miracle with he took seven loaves of bread and a few small fish and fed a crowd of 4,000 men, and that was just the men alone. And then there was women and children, so the number would have been much higher. We know that, yes, the fish symbol, we all have seen, maybe some of you have that fish symbol on your cars. We all are familiar with it. And also Jesus, the bread is significant because the Lord's Prayer, you know, we pray for our daily bread when we pray in the Lord's Prayer. And it says here that Jesus, that there was great crowds and that he healed the lame, the blind, the crippled, and the mute. And they went out to the remote area. They were in a remote area, and that's why they couldn't just go and get food. And it says that Jesus had left the crowd after he did the miracle. Doesn't say here in this gospel, but in other gospels, we know that they were ready to make Jesus their king, but Jesus did not want to have a word. I mean, this was a one-time miracle. It was not something that, because we are to work for our food, this is a Bible story we're all very familiar with, and you know, we know in the Gospel of John, Jesus calls himself the bread of life, and so this story shows that Jesus was able to take a desperate situation and use it to his glory.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you to the worship team. So this morning, in your bulletins, it does say that I will be talking about miracles, healings, and faith. Before I get into that, last night, Anita decided to babysit her brother's three children. So we had tornadoes flying around our house last night. And as I was trying to study, they decided that they had, have you ever made those, get a brown paper bag and make like a face and then you talk like a puppet? So they made them last night, and I was downstairs trying to study and listen to some worship music and get my mind where it should be. And they come down there and they started shooting lasers at me through the laser eyes that they had made on their bags. And so everything was good and fine until I decided to hide the one time and scare them when they come down. And they were okay with that because they knew I was just right there. But I did that twice, and the third time they come down, I hid somewhere else. And I scared the tar out of them. They screamed and cried. They even cried, sorry. They did. And I felt so bad. But they got over it after a while. And I say that this morning because maybe I'm getting my own medicine, because I was okay. I was fine last night and this morning. You all are great to hang around with. But when I get up in front of you, for some reason this morning, I am nervous, as nervous can be. So if you could, throughout my spiel, laugh and whatever, it'll make me at ease up here. Because I don't feel worthy enough or the knowledge enough to be able to be talking to you or teaching you about miracles and healings and faith. But I'm going to try and do what God has filled me with, and I'm trying to share that with you. So just bear with me this morning. Miracles, the gift of miracles that God gives each one of us. An extraordinary event taken as a sign of the supernatural power of God. That is what the gift of miracles is. The gift of healings are supernatural enablements given to a believer through the power of God. And faith is a supernatural faith that operates from God directly through us. So what I want to explain or try and help you think about this morning is each one of those gifts that I just mentioned, there's one word that can sum up all three of them, and that is supernatural. They are supernatural gifts. It's not something that you and I will use every single day or something that we can just do. It is a supernatural thing that can only be done through the power of our Heavenly Father God. And I'm going to try and help you understand that as we go through some scripture this morning. So if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where I will start. Starting with verse 1. It says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of works, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's the gift through the Spirit, the message of wisdom. to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. And this morning, what I'm hoping to share with you is that last little phrase that says, just as he determines, meaning God, will give you the power that will glorify him, give you the power to do a miraculous sign, a healing, or faith that will give you the power for his honor and his glory. So I want to start out this morning by sharing a couple stories. About 6 years ago, I was hauling corn silage from down towards Oxford, and I was hauling it up towards Honeybrook. And coming up through Honeybrook, we ran Route 10, and those who drive truck in here understand what Route 10 is about. Route 10 is turny, hilly, and everything else you want to say. So when you are coming from Oxford up to Honeybrook, there's a little small town called Compass. And as you come into Compass, there is a steep hill. I mean, it's almost straight down at some point, but not quite. So as I was coming down through there with a loaded truck, I got to the top and I slowed way down because I knew I had a pretty heavy load on. And as a farmer, you know, farmers never check their weights. They just do. That's a farmer. They just do. Anyhow, as I approached the hill and slowed down and was coming down through there about halfway down, I pushed the brake pedal flat to the floor and there was nothing there. So I knew my brakes were gone. And what do you do in a situation like that? I tried pulling my emergency. There's a brake that puts all your brakes on, but with big wide tires on vehicles, the road had enough attraction that it just ripped that through. So what do you do now? Well, trust me, I had a lot of questions that I was asking myself as I was going down that hill. And I determined of jumping, I determined all kinds of other things, and every time I thought that, it was like, no, if you do this, this will happen. And so I got to the point where I said, you know what, God, it's in your hands. I have no control of this. And at that moment, I can picture that to this day. I still could see what was going on around me, but I felt like I was floating in the air. That truck, when it hit my hope was that I would run into the trees down below, because that would actually stop me. The rest of the place, there was no way to stop me other than whenever it stops. That's what happened. After I woke up and crawled out of the truck, I ran into the trees and the truck laid over. So the truck never slid. It hit the trees and laid over. And you can say, well, you know, things like that happen day in and day out. When the cop got there and I was talking to him, he asked me, or didn't even ask me, he just said, I can't believe you're alive. He said, a wreck like this, you should be dead. And those words have stuck to me because the only way that happened, the only way I'm still here is a miraculous power by God that was there with me. It was a miracle that I was still alive. For 20 years, my job was to make the sick animals well. Do you know how you do that? You give them a lot of shots. No, not necessarily. But as a herdsman slash veterinarian, I did many surgeries, different kinds of surgeries. And there's one thing that every animal was the same. And that was when you did a surgery and you stitched the skin together, it's nothing that I could do to make that skin grow together and heal that where it was stitched. But that's a miraculous healing from God. We all, many of you out here, have had surgeries. You have scars. I have scars on my hands where I had stitches. But that skin healed over, and it's a sign for us to know that our God is the God that hands out the power of healing. He wants to use it through us. In Flowing Waters, as we've met for the last 10, 11 years here, I've seen God do awesome miracles in bringing people to himself, in bringing people out of the darkness. I've seen druggies who sold drugs stop selling drugs and are clean for a couple years now. I've seen the faith that God can give people for the unknown, that there is a God, that there is someone that we can trust in. And I've seen healings between druggies and their parents, that there's healing there, that God mended it back together. So yes, do I believe that God can give us the power to do miracles and the power to do healings and the power to have faith? Yes, I do believe that. I have seen that. I want to start out this morning in Genesis chapter 1 to help you understand this all. You can turn there if you want to. I'm not going to read it, but I think you all understand what Genesis chapter 1 is. It says, the first thing Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He also goes on to say he created light, he created plants, he created animals, birds of the air, the fish of the sea. He created everything pretty much to make it real simple for you. And then he created man. And I think about that. He took dust and blew his breath into it, and voila, there was a man. You know, think about that. In today's world, if we took some dust into the hospital and they created a man out of that, how many incisions, how many... Just think about that. There's no way to explain it, because everything that you try and explain, it doesn't make sense. But God breathed life into something, and there it was. And then, not only that, after the man was created, he took a rib from the man, and he made woman out of that rib. Now think about the surgeries that go into stuff like that that we have in today's society. You would be probably in the hospital for a month. You would have scars. I mean, think about that. Here it just says, God created, and man saw woman coming. It doesn't make sense, but it's the truth. It's the truth. It's out of God's word. So what I'm saying is when we look at Genesis chapter 1, we can see that God created everything. Which leads me into Matthew chapter 15. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 15, you can. So here, Jesus had people brought to him. He went to a high mountain, and he had people brought to him who were sick, crippled, lame, couldn't speak. I'm thinking about the people that took those people to them. Think about crawling up a mountain with trying to help somebody. You know, they went, their faith in that Jesus could heal these people was evident. That's a miracle in itself, that their faith was that if we take these people to Jesus, he's going to heal them. And he did. It says, he healed. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. Now, how does this happen? Who is Jesus? Jesus is God's Son. Jesus knows his Father. Jesus knows what God did in the beginning because he was there. God has given Jesus these powers for why? So that his Father in heaven can be glorified. And look at what Jesus did. After he healed these people, he said to his disciples to go get some food. Because these people have been with him 3 days and have nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry or they may collapse on the way. Even in the miracle part of these people being healed, Jesus had a feeling inside of him that he had compassion on them. He felt that they were hungry. He felt what they felt. Remember that. That's going to come back here later. So he asked his disciples to go get something. And Andrew alluded to that. They were in a remote place. There was nothing around them. But for some reason, they had 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish. And what does Jesus do? He gets that and he says, sit down. Tells the crowd to sit down. He takes the 7 loaves and the fish. And when he had gave thanks, meaning he praised God for what he had. And then he began to break the bread and he began to break the fish. And he gave one by one to the disciples. And they went out and they fed 4,000 people with this small amount of food. I want you to understand something. The reason I started in Genesis is because it says God created the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. In other cultures, the emblem or the symbol of fish meant the Son of God. Jesus is telling us in this scripture, he is putting it out there that who he is the Son of God. And the bread, when we take communion, the bread is broken for us. It's Jesus' body broken for us. So when they go and they gather the bread that was laying on the floor and put it in baskets, there were 7 baskets left over, or there was leftover. I want you to understand that leftover is for you and I. Jesus is not just talking to the people or the crowd that he's talking to. The leftovers is for you and I. This is not just for the Jews. Our salvation comes through Jesus Christ, and that means it's for everybody. Everybody. The great part of this miracle is they were satisfied. I mean, I've never sat down and ate. I don't like fish to begin with, but let's say I did. If I ate fish and bread, you think I'd be satisfied? I mean, that's a miracle. These people ate fish and bread and they were satisfied. I don't think the food satisfied them. I don't believe that. It was Jesus Christ standing there that nourished their spirit. And that is what's satisfying. I don't know how many of you here, when we have our meals after church, what are they called, Jeff? Fellowship meal, there we go. See, I told you, don't look at me up here. So after the fellowship meals that we have here, I can go down there and I can eat hardly anything. And you know what happens? I can leave here and I'm not hungry. It's not the food that fills me up. It's the socializing. It's the gathering of each one. It's the relationship. It's the socializing with each one of us. That is what Christ is trying to show here. When we have a relationship with Jesus Christ and we can communicate with him, there is a satisfying feeling that we get. Moving on, let's go to John chapter 11. And I want to focus on this passage. All of you have heard this story of the death of Lazarus. And I apologize if I say his name wrong. You know, I come from the Dutch, so I was born with a big tongue. So when I say things, it slurs a little bit. So just bear with me on that. So here in chapter 11, starting with verse 1, many of you remember Mary and Martha and Lazarus as they were friends of Jesus, and Jesus would go and visit them different times. Jesus got word that Lazarus was sick. When Jesus, in verse 4, when he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Right there is a huge, huge gift of faith. Oftentimes we know what faith is. Faith is believing in something that we don't see. But the gift of faith is being able to understand what God wants to do in a situation. And here Jesus is saying, listen, Lazarus is not going to die because God wants to do something miraculous, for those people around him. So Jesus stays there a number of days to make sure. When he goes to visit or goes to Lazarus, Martha is the first one that meets Jesus, and she says this. In verse 21, it says, Martha said to Jesus, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Martha knew that when you die and go to heaven, when you go to heaven, you are a new creation, you are a new person. But Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Martha said, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." My question to you is, do you believe? Do you believe who Jesus is? Do you believe he's the resurrection and life? Do you believe he's your Savior? But let's look at Mary. What happens with Mary? Martha goes home and tells Mary. And Mary comes. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and trouble. One thing that I want you to understand is this Jesus that we proclaim doesn't only heal the crippled, the blind, the lame, the mute. Those are outward things. Jesus knows your heart. He felt and saw Mary crying, and he had compassion on her. He felt that. And Jesus, knowing where her hurt and pain was because of the death of her brother, was troubled in his spirit. He felt it. But what does he say to Mary then? He came there to heal Lazarus, and he was dead. And he says to Mary, "Where is he?" Don't you think the creator of the world would know where he is? I mean, why would he ask a question of, "Well, where is he?" Mary said, "Come, Lord, I'll take you to him." She didn't say, "I'll take you," but she said, "Come. Come and see." And at that moment, Jesus wept. Jesus cried. If there is anything that I want you to get out of this message this morning, is that right there. The God that you serve is a God that is all-powerful and can do whatever we ask. But that's not what I'm after this morning. This morning I'm after is that Jesus wept. And that is more than just an outward thing. That is a heart. That is an emotional attribute that Jesus knows, and he feels each one of you. When he cried, it says, then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Not only was Jesus crying and showing us the emotions he has, the people around were starting to say, "Whoa, this guy, he's all powerful, but yet he's crying. He actually feels what other people feel." So they go to the tomb, and you know the rest of the story, that Jesus heals Lazarus. But this morning, that I believe the greatest gift of miracles, the greatest gift of healings, and the greatest gift of faith is us understanding that Jesus, in all the miracles that he did in this, the Bible that we read, seems so much greater than to actually come and sit beside me or you and say, "I feel what you're going through. I feel your pain." He's saying to Mary, "I feel your pain. I feel your hurt. I feel your sorrow. Can you please take me to that so I can heal it, so that I can show you what kind of miracles I can do, so that it can boost your faith in me?" This morning, as we worship, there's all kinds of things in this congregation that are going on, and I'm not going to begin to try and feel what's in every one of your hearts. I feel some things in my heart of out here, but I will not share that. But I want you, as we worship, to open your heart up, and as we sing some of these songs, is to say, "God, this is where my pain is coming from. This is where my hurt is. This is what makes me sorrowful. This, you put the word there." And I want you to take Jesus and say, "Jesus, come here with me." And allow him to heal you. Allow him to take your heart and make it soft. Allow him to touch you. Allow the Spirit to touch you this morning. So when you leave here, you don't leave by walking out of this place. Excuse me, this is not a Mennonite thing, but I would like to see you dance out of this house. I know that's not a Mennonite thing, but I think you all know who I am, and I can say that. But no, truly, my heart this morning is that you understand that Jesus Christ understands your hurts, your pains, and your feelings. And he wants that. He wants that healed. He wants to show you who he truly is. So in that, let's pray. So Father, I do thank you and I praise you that you are a God who is personal, that you are a God who sees every little thing in us, that is good and bad. Every little thing that hurts us, where we have pain, where we have sorrow. God, I just pray this morning that you would allow the Holy Spirit to come down and fill this place. That you would allow your Spirit to move here to give us a satisfying heart. That where our pain is, it will be joy. That where our sorrow is, it will be happiness. And that our hurts would be gone. I just pray, Father, too, that as we worship and give you honor and praise this morning, as we leave this place, we will be able to leave feeling refreshed and renewed of who you are, how you work, and what our purpose is. We thank you, God, that your word is truth and that we can stand on that. And I just pray, Father, for each individual who's here, that you would move and touch each individual life here. So I just thank you and I praise you for that. Amen. The worship team can come front. I do want to step out of my comfort zone here. Aaron, is Eve here? Let's just give God I don't care how you do it, a shout, a clap, a hallelujah. Little Eve, and Aaron, I'm not here to take the steam away from you and James. I just want to acknowledge that little Eve is here and she is alive and well and doing, I'm assuming doing well. Actually, you know what? Hold on a second. This is not for me. Sorry, Aaron. Are you okay with this or no?
Okay, I didn't realize I'm talking. I don't know if I can get through this or not, but man, it's just amazing that the Lord's just working in miraculous ways. And man, just to have Rick be preaching on miracles, we have prayed for Eve, Aaron. We just thank him for everything. He's been so gracious to us. The fact that she's here today on this sermon of miracles is just, it's all God. And we just thank him for everything he's been doing for us. Now,
so I would ask you to sing like you never sang before this morning and praise God with us.
And I'm going to invite whoever's coming up front this morning. good. Nadia and Delilah wanted to sing a song with us. So we are going to sing a song, and I invite everyone to stand. And after hearing what Rick had to share and hearing what Jawan just shared, let's let God know how we truly feel. So. All right, is everybody ready? Okay. I love you, Lord. Till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. Oh, all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your Lord, you have held me through the fire. You
darkest nights, you walk close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. Sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hope, my sin has been defeated. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my heart now has taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Let this
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the brighter morning star would choose to light the way of my ever-wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when you told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin will look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that called the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. Today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours.
Wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. Oh, I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow. I saw the light. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up a well within my soul. Spring up a well and make me whole. Spring up a well and give to me that life abundantly. Oh, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk, opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up a well within my soul. Spring up a well and make me whole. Spring up a well and give to me.
You know, I always hate this part. I was just getting into it, and now you stopped. In closing, I'm just going to read out of Jude. But for those of you who are here and don't know what Flowing Waters is, we meet here every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock in the double room. And it's a lot of the people that we dealt with is people that were on drugs, walking alongside them. People just came out of jail. Just people in general in the community is who we associate with and try and bring the love of God to them. Do you have some? Okay. So, in ending, this is what Jude says. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen and thank you. You're dismissed.